Well, quite an interesting week. I just want to share with you a couple of things. I had one sermon prepared from the 12th chapter of Romans, ready for that. And early this morning, God said, no, that's not what I want you to preach on. So I sat down and wrote some notes on what I felt God wanted me to preach on and looked up the scriptures. And lo and behold, on the way to up here to St. John, somewhere along the line, I lost everything. So, but that's okay, because God's in control. And this, I think you're going to see what God has such a wonderful thing planned for us this morning. A young man said to my son on Friday on the way home from school, he said, I need to be good today because, he said, tomorrow's judgment day. Also, in the news headlines this week, I saw that believers getting ready for judgment day. What a joke. True believers were not getting ready for judgment day on Friday. True believers were standing back ready and watchful, as the Bible says to be. The true believers were not getting ready for judgment day. And what this does, it creates a chance and an opportunity for Satan to get into the lives of the world, of the people in the world, and get into communities and in churches and try and disrupt them, divide them by what's happened and what's going on. Because now Satan's standing back and laughing, saying, well, the world was supposed to come to an end and it didn't, so God's word must not be true. But if we really know God's word, we really know that it wasn't supposed to come to an end. And Satan's mocking the church. He's mocking God's word. He's mocking believers because they believed it and doubted God's word through this false prophecy. The Bible told us there would be false prophets in the end times who would gather people together who wanted their itchy ears tickled and scratched through their pleasing words. We do live in troubling times. We do live in the end times. Technically, from the time Jesus ascended till he comes back again, these are called the end times. And the end times are perilous. They're exactly like Jesus said they would be. There's wars, there's rumors of wars, there's storms, there's pestilence, there's destruction, there's natural disasters that are happening all around us. But Jesus said these are just the beginning of birth pains. Just the beginning of things that are going to happen. There was a day when the disciples were coming out of the temple with Jesus and they said, Lord, this world is awesome. Look at these awesome buildings. This is great what we have and what we live in. Jesus said, this is nothing. I'll tell you the truth, someday none of this will be here. I had a man say to me one day, a few years ago, about how great life was and how great this and that we enjoyed in life was. And I looked at him and somberly said, yeah, but someday none of this will be here. And he looked at me and I realized he didn't even understand what I was talking about. Well, the disciples, of course, were curious. And they said to Jesus, when will this happen? What will be the sign that this is going to happen? And Jesus started on an exposition in a sermon with his disciples to teach them the truth. He said, watch out that you're not deceived. That was his first words. Watch out that you're not deceived. In other words, he was saying, don't be deceived by all this stuff, by all this talk that you're going to hear. Things are going to get bad. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be persecuted because you're a Christian. Isn't that going on today? He said, you're going to be put to death because you're a Christian. That's going on today. He said, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Sometimes we have to search long and hard first to find someone who's actually a loving person. And he says, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world and then the end will come. He said to them, when you see the abomination that causes desolation spoken up through the prophet Daniel. And Matthew says, listen to this. He said, let the reader beware of Jesus' words. When you see the abomination that causes desolation spoken up through the prophet Daniel, let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the roof of his house go down to take anything out of his house. Let no one in the field go back to take his cloak. In other words, get out of there. This is going to happen so quick. You cannot spend your time getting ready and preparing. Okay. He said, at that time the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. We don't know what that is, but we know that all nations will mourn because they'll realize what's happened. And listen to what I say. They'll realize what has happened because it will have already happened when they see the Son of Man and the sign in the sky. They won't see the sign and they'll go and get ready. They get on their knees and pray. They'll be good people. It will have already happened. And all the nations of the earth will mourn. They'll see the Son of Man coming on the clouds with power and great glory. He'll send his angels with a loud trumpet call, gather his elect from the four winds. And he says, I want you to learn this lesson. It's like the fig tree. When certain things happen to the fig tree, you know that summer's near. You know that it's about time for the fig tree to bear fruit. He said, in the same way, when you see these things starting to happen, the signs of the end of the age, you know that it's near. It's right at the door. And it is near. It's right at the door. The signs are there. Biblically, the signs are there. But he says, no one knows about the day or the hour. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. And he says, it's going to be like in the days of Noah. There Noah was building the ark, working hard on the ark. People were laughing at him. They were partying. They were marrying around. Nothing's going to happen. We're good. We're great. We're covered. Nothing's going to happen. And Noah's saying, I'm telling you the truth. A flood's coming. God's going to destroy the earth. No, it can't happen. It can't happen. And it did. It did. It happened so quickly that many of them were shut out. And I think if I heard rightly, this was the grounds for this man's prophecy in the last few days and weeks. It's been, I think, 7,000 years since Noah built the ark, and somehow prophecy predicted that 7,000 years to the day after the ark was complete, that God was going to destroy the earth again. And Jesus said, this is how it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be standing in the field. One will be gone. Or he says that two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be gone. Just like that. We call that the rapture. He said, therefore, keep watch. Keep watch. Because you don't know on what day your Lord will come. And he says, it's like the owner of the house. The owner of the house had known what time of night the thief was coming. He would have kept watched, and he would have been ready. He would not have let his house be broken into. He said, so you need to be ready also. Like that man watching his house, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. I have to say, last night, I had my watch ready, my cell phone ready, watching. I was at a wedding reception, watching the time. I was being watchful. I would have praised God if the time would have come. It would have been really cool to see. It would have waken a lot of people up. But what this proved, by not happening, what this should prove to the whole world is that God's word is true, not man's, that no one is to know the hour or the day. When Luke wrote to Theophilus, the book of Acts, he was saying that when they met together with the Lord after the Lord's resurrection, they asked him, is this the time when you're going to restore the kingdom of Israel? In other words, did you come back to restore us? Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times or the dates that the Father set by His own authority. It's not for you to know. You see, the Bible consistently tells us that it was not going to be the way this man had predicted. And we learn from this that the only place that we can find truth is in God's Word. We should never take man's word and man's prophecy like many have done in the past few days and weeks. Not even mine, folks. What I want you to do every Sunday, when I get done preaching, don't just believe it because I stand up here every Sunday. Don't just believe it for any reason other than whether the Bible says it's true or not. That's why I preach from the Bible. Because I know when I'm preaching from the Bible, it's truth. And I know that God is going to honor that truth. In the Bible, when Paul was going around to the different churches, do you remember when he was going up around into Macedonia and headed for Athens, and the false prophets were coming after him, and the false prophets were discrediting the word of God which he was giving about Jesus Christ, and he actually had to flee, and he fled to Berea. And when he went to Berea, the Bible tells us that the Bereans were more noble than many of the others. You know why? Because they searched God's Word to see if what Paul said was true. I want you folks to search this Word to make sure what I'm saying here on Sunday morning is true, lest I have you all ready for the destruction of the earth at a certain day or a certain hour, if you see what I'm saying. This is truth. And sometimes I'm wrong about the way I discern it. Okay, but you need to go and read it yourself and let the Holy Spirit work. And you know what happens? When I'm right I'm not right because I'm right. I'm right because the Holy Spirit puts the words in my mouth and in my mind. And the Holy Spirit will put those same words, that same truth in your mind and in your mouth, because the Holy Spirit does not contradict Himself. I said to one of the men that knocked on my door one day, that was a Jehovah's Witness, I said, "So you're telling me, sir, that all of the biblical scholars and theologians for hundreds of years that have read the Bible, translated the Bible, studied the Bible, are all wrong, and your one Bible, your one prophet's true?" And he looked at me and he said, "Yes." And I said, "I'm sorry, sir, but you are not truly a Christian, and you cannot profess to be one. Because when you find one odd bird that's talking in contrary to the Word of God, we do not listen to it. We listen to God's Word." Not only did Jesus talk about it, Paul talked about it to the Thessalonians. They were concerned in their day because they had believed, because of the false prophets, that Jesus was coming back so immediately that they quit their jobs. They quit doing what they were doing and just sat around looking up to heaven waiting for Jesus to come back. Some of them were even told that He had already come back and they had missed it. They were concerned about it. Paul said, "Brothers, we don't want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. And it's according to the Lord's own word. We tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep." What he's saying is that those who have died in Christ will rise first. But he says the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud sound, the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call, will come down from heaven with a loud command. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and we'll be with the Lord forever. He goes on to say to them, "Brothers, about the times and dates," because that's the question. We want to know. We want to be ready. We want to be good people, so when it happens, we're ready. Folks, we're not going to be on our knees when Christ comes back again. We're going to be at work. We're going to be swimming. We're going to be driving. We're going to be playing games and sports. We're going to be in the least expected place. It's going to happen when He comes back. He says, "Brothers, about the times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." The thief in the night? Well, you expected him. He really wouldn't be like a thief in the night, would he? You'd be ready for him. He says, coming unexpectedly. The thief's going to try, or it's going to be like the thief in the night, unexpectedly, at a time you don't expect. While people are saying, peace and safety. Peace and safety. Everything's good. It's good. We're good. Things are cool. Life's great. We're partying. We're having a great time. While people are saying, peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as the labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they'll not escape. And he says, "Brothers, you're not in darkness, so that that day should surprise you like a thief." Are you folks in darkness? If the Lord would come right now, this afternoon, tomorrow, maybe in 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, don't be in darkness. Believers aren't in darkness. We can see the truth and know the truth. He says, "Brothers, you're not in darkness. You're sons of the light. We don't belong to the night or the darkness, so let's not be like others who are asleep. Let's be alert and self-controlled." He's saying we need to be like the virgins, that we're ready for the bridegroom. Five were unready, five were ready. Five had their wicks trimmed, their lamps full. The bridegroom came, knocked on the door, and came in. They were together with the bridegroom. The others came, knocked on the door, and he said, "Nah, I don't know you. You weren't ready, you weren't prepared." Paul also wrote to the Thessalonians in his second letter concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to Him. "I ask you, brothers, don't become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, some report or letter supposed to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord has already come. The message of the destruction of the world on Saturday was not the message of a Christ-filled and Christ-centered, Holy Spirit-led church." Paul says, don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion comes and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. You see, folks, there were many things that have not happened yet, but will happen soon. When Jesus talked about the end times coming, when the abomination of desolation occurred, okay, that meant something to the Jewish people. You know anything about history? Daniel was referring to the prophecy about Antiochus IV, who came and destroyed Jerusalem in December, I think, 186 B.C. He set up a statue of Zeus and he sacrificed a pig on the altar. It was an abomination that caused desolation. An abomination, something disgusting to God. Completely disgusting. I want to ask you, are there things in this world right now that are disgusting to God? I think it's safe to say there are. And I think it's safe to say that we're going to see it soon. Someday. But when that happens, we'll know that the time is at hand. And we will not be in darkness. When the man of lawlessness reveals himself and sets up the abomination that causes desolation. Something that's disgusting to God. Not the words of man, but the words of Jesus Christ. It's not for us to know. But Jesus tells us we are to be ready and watchful for when it does happen. Does that mean being a good person when it happens? No. Does that mean being in church when it happens? No. And how do we know when he comes? Am I going up? By being one of Christ's children. Having the blood of Christ in my heart. Accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's who he's coming back for. That's who's going up. If it happens today, hallelujah, I'm ready to go. I hope you are too. If it doesn't happen for 50 years, hopefully I'll be dead by then. At which point I'll be able to rise first, according to Paul. Right? I'll be the dead in Christ. But I know for sure that we're going to see each other again because the Lord promises that we'll be with the Lord forever. Rejoicing forever. And when I think of this young man who said, I need to be good today because tomorrow's judgment day. Folks, I hope that's not your theology. That's not what I teach. It's not what the Bible teaches. We're to be ready and watchful. But to think that we can be good for 1 hour in case Jesus comes back, not going to do it. That's not what does it. Never did and it never will. And I urge you that when things like this happen, turn in your Bibles. If you don't know where, call me. Look in your concordances. There's so much material out there today telling us the truth based on good theological and sound study that we can know for sure. It's not any code. It's not any secret. It's not anything unknown to us. Jesus just simply says, no one knows the hour or the day. Until he comes, we're ready and waiting. Let's pray. Lord our God, you have already